litigation, which is what you're seeking?
Yes, sir. Just as a parenthetical, we touched on this the last time we were in front of you. There is an issue as to the standing of Mr. Morrissey's clients to object, because then they're beneficiaries of the trust of which Ted Bernstein claims to be the trustee. I know there's a dispute over that in front of you. But at this juncture, it seems he is, to me, the only party really withstanding. I know we agreed that we were going to have Mr. Morrissey argue and so forth, so we don't get caught up in a lot of procedure on that, but I didn't want to bring that to your attention. I think you said you would weigh that in terms of how we evaluated just this type of a motion.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. Morrissey, you're up on why I shouldn't approve the settlement agreement, and in your presentation, tell me how you have standing as well.
Okay. Judge, I'll address the standing issue first. If you look at paragraph 6, paragraph 6 of Mr. O'Connell's motion, let me get to it here. He asked that the payment be made directly from the trust.
This is one that says between the time of execution of this agreement?
No, it says, no, not the agreement itself, his motion to approve.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Okay, based upon Article 5, it starts.
Maybe we have something else. My number 6 says, between the time of the execution of this agreement and its approval and rejection, the parties agree to the case stands dealt in the pending litigation. Is that what you're getting at?
No, that must be the agreement.
That's the agreement, not his motion. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize. Okay, I'm going to read paragraph 6.
Yeah, so Mr. O'Connell is requesting that the funds essentially come from the trust. My clients are beneficiaries of the trust, so they are directly impacted, certainly, by the court's determination today, and certainly any determination that any funds be paid from trust assets. There's also a second reason that my clients have standing, I believe, under a case, if I may approach.
Sure.
I'll provide Your Honor with the estate of Cyrus Lewis, and it's a 4th DCA case, and I'm providing it to other counsel, and this is a case, Judge, where there was a...
Hold on for a second.
Yes.
So the case that the settlement is taking place in, which is the civil case, Mr. Stansberry, in the heading, sued Ted Bernstein, among others, and it just says Ted S. Bernstein. The settlement agreement says Ted S. Bernstein as successor trustee of the Simon Bernstein Trust. So it was Ted in the civil case sued individually or in his capacity as successor trustee of Simon Bernstein's Trust?
If I may, Your Honor?
Yeah.
We sued Mr. Simon Bernstein while he was still alive, which is why now the estate's been substituted in. But we also sued Ted Bernstein individually and a number of corporations owned or controlled by both Simon and Ted, then controlled by Ted after Simon's death. We have now settled some months ago with Mr. Ted Bernstein individually and all of the other corporations. The estate of Simon Bernstein is the last remaining defendant in this action.
Okay, and that's the one, that's the entity that Tesher and Spolina were the co-PRs of, and now...
That is correct.
Now Mr. O'Connell is correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and so... The real party in interest here is Mr. O'Connell as her successor PR of the estate of Simon Bernstein. That's who you sued if you substituted the correct party. Is that accurate?
That is correct.
Okay. And
that substitution has taken place.
How are we, where does Ted Bernstein as successor trustee come from?
He doesn't, Your Honor. We have a different settlement agreement that only has Mr. O'Connell as a signatory. That particular one was drawn up by Mr. Rose back in November.
Okay, so maybe the one that's exhibit, so which one are we seeking approval on?
It's the same, Your Honor. I said this to Mr. O'Connell about 3 weeks ago. It's an original signed by Mr. Stansberry. The terms are the same.
Okay, but this is still settling this case between Plaintiff William Stansberry, I have no problem with that, it says, and Ted S. Bernstein, the successor trustee of Simon's Estate, on behalf of...
That's just the caption,
Brian O'Connell.
That's just the caption, Your Honor. The body of it refers only to the estate. Once the caption...
Can I provide the court with some clarity of what the document is attached to the motion?
Okay.
And it might help with Mr. Morrison's explanation too, but in essence, my client is not a party to the lawsuit, but technically the successor trustee is the beneficiary of the estate of Simon Bernstein. At Mr. O'Connell's suggestion, he said, why don't we mediate the claim of Stansberry? I didn't think mediation would necessarily be productive, so what I did was I negotiated with Mr. Feynman to try to figure out what range we're in, because obviously a settlement of a dollar is different than a settlement for $10 million. I got him, we negotiated, he had originally been at $250,000 at one time and he had raised his demand. So we negotiated with the concept that, I wanted to know what number they would take so I could Ted could present it to the beneficiaries and get their pulse, see if they were interested in the settlement at that range or not.
We're talking about a settlement still of Stansberry's claim against the estate that now Mr. O'Connell is PR, but the beneficiary of Simon's estate is Ted as trustee.
Correct. And I think in his capacity as successor trustee, we believe that the settlement was within the range of a reasonable settlement. It's not necessarily a good deal. We're a little bit torn. The number is a little higher than you would hope to pay, but given the cost and expense of litigation and the cost and expense of keeping an estate open while you administer his claim.
The real party, the party to the settlement is Mr. O'Connell, a successor PR. You're telling me that Ted is the affected party because he's the beneficiary of the estate and his capacity as trustee.
Right. And with the settlement number, Mr. Stansberry said, this is the lowest I'll take. I said, well, if that's the lowest you'll take, let's put it in writing and we'll take it back to the beneficiaries and see. We got a lot of resistance from the beneficiaries. Nobody said we liked the number. We didn't go forward with the settlement. It's not to say we didn't believe it was an appropriate number, but if none of the beneficiaries are in favor of it, I'm hard-pressed to say that in good faith I would recommend the settlement. At the same time, Mr. O'Connell, though, in his independent determination, has seen the discussion. It's still Mr. Feynman's bottom line number. They will not take a penny less than $340,000. You could confirm that with Mr. Feynman. He's told me that multiple times. Mr. O'Connell, I believe, has determined in his fiduciary position that he believes the settlement is in the best interest. You'd still have to hire...
So let me ask you this question and help me out.
But Mr. Morrissey's clients have told us they object to the settlement.
Okay, so...
We're here getting approval for something. I think they should be heard to at least express their objection for the court's consideration.
Here's my question. If there's a lawsuit, Stansberry, and I'm going to do this cleanly, Stansberry versus Simon's Estate, and the party there is the, and the person who sued is the PR, who now is Mr. O'Connell. That's the lawsuit, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Correct. Mr. O'Connell says, I'm PR. I have duties and responsibilities to the estate. I know what those are, and I want to settle this case. Is it required that he get the approval of the beneficiaries?
Well, I think as a legal matter, I'm not sure it is. He's decided he wants to get court approval. He's filed a motion for judicial approval for that thing.
Okay.
My point is, the beneficiaries are opposed.
From some of the law that Mr. Feynman gave me, it seemed his position was that Mr. O'Connell didn't even need court approval. He could just settle the claim. And he could enter on the CA case, which is Judge Block's case, he could just settlement case.
And I think you could tell us all to go home, and he can do what he wants to do without court order. He wants a court order.
Really, well, I mean, that sounds attractive.
It's the right thing.
Mr. O'Connell's motion, he's filed. I mean, the couple things that I wanted to point out, you know, his basis for thinking this is reasonable cannot be that I agreed to the number of 340,000. That's basically what I put on the record. It was the bottom line number. So it's either you say yes or you say no at 340,000. There's no point in further negotiations. The reason I think 340,000 makes is
but I don't want to get into yeah, okay. See, I don't want to get into the reasonableness.
Okay.
I want to get into the issue of so Mr. O'Connell could have done this on his own. But instead, he's asking for court approval. So what's the legal significance of that?
Your Honor, it's actually paragraph 4 of the settlement agreement. It probably will explain that the best. Correct. Technically, I didn't have to get court approval, but I was given the option because I did feel it was necessary just due to the litigious nature of this case and the various parties.
Right. Okay.
That's where
because
it comes from.
If someone thinks that Mr. O'Connell is not doing his job, selling out the estate, or doing something like that, there's statutory remedies for that. But one of them doesn't seem to be that the settlement can be opposed, especially if he says he can do it without court order. So, but being cautious, he wants to get a court order.
Right.
But here's my question. By asking me to get a court order, does that mean that I have to determine or hear from the beneficiary who do have a fiduciary responsibility over?
I think you would have to hear from her perhaps back to the standing contact.
Okay, right. So here's the problem. Sit down. Here's my problem. I'm not involved in the negotiations. I don't evaluate the reasonableness of settlements that I'm not involved in because that's not a job that judges do. That's something that you all do outside of court. So if the beneficiaries want to tell someone that they don't think the deal is good, it would seem clear that they would tell that to Mr. O'Connell, okay? Because So did you hear from the beneficiaries concerning the viability of the settlement?
I heard from Mr. Rose and Mr. Marcy told me he was objective.
Okay, all right.
That was
okay. So, but having done that or not, or however well you did that, what is it that today, when I asked Mr. Marcy what his position was, and he said he objected, how do I process legally a beneficiary's objection to a negotiated settlement? Because you're negotiating it with whatever decision making you're granted by being a PR.
Right.
And you know, you're responsible to the beneficiaries to act in the best interest of the estate and empowered to compromise claims, including settlement claims.
Yes, sir.
And so, I mean, how do I, without starting at square one, I'm going to hear from a lawyer, not evidence, who's going to tell me what they don't like about it. What am I going to do with that?
Overrule it and approve it.
Yeah, but that I don't know that I have the ability to approve a settlement that I didn't participate in.
I think, Your Honor, it's like every other settlement, some need to get brought in front of you for court approval, and for some where there actually we have many trials sometimes when we're
but that means evidence. That means there's no, it's not a settlement.
Right. But there's no evidence.
Not because you have a civil case.
Sure.
You're not litigating in that case. You're asking the probate court to allow a PR to settle a claim that's a compromise of a claim. It's a compromise of Stanberry's claim, correct?
Yes, sir.
And you know that a beneficiary objects. I think you need to make a stand and just make a decision on that. With your power of the court, and if someone doesn't like that, they go after you.
And I'm making in the context of this agreement, which had that paragraph four that had the either-or language in it, so I've gone from the, let's hear, I guess what I would say, can you hear the objection?
I'll hear. Mr. Morrissey will speak to me.
Right.
What do I do when he speaks to me? I mean, how do I sustain his view or the rule he's here? I'm not involved in the negotiation. I mean, if there was an issue of the legal basis to do it, that could be different, but that's right. Not a question. You're allowed to, as PR, we crossed that point. But on the actual merit of the compromise, I'm not sure how I get involved in that. What do you want to tell me, Mr. Bennett?
The court is using the word beneficiary objection, but the beneficiary of the estate
is Ted.
Is Ted, right. And he's not objecting. It's the beneficiary of the beneficiary.
Right.
And
well,
Florida statute, okay. 731.201 says that the beneficiary of the trust is not a beneficiary of the estate of which that trust or trustee of that trust is a beneficiary.
All right, but Mr. O'Connell has chosen to hear out of court at some point from Mr. Morrissey and thinks that it's important enough for today for Mr. Morrissey to be heard, whether he has standing or not, aside for the moment, and that's kind of where we are. But I'm not sure it's even going to be fruitful is the problem. Because what am I going to do with when Mr. Morrissey tells me as a lawyer there's no evidence, I'm not allowed to give any evidentiary weight to an unsworn statement of a lawyer. He'll tell me my clients who are beneficiaries of the trust object to the settlement and here's why. I'll say thank you and then I'll go to Mr. O'Connell and I'll say do your job.
Which I think we've done, and once he has no evidence, Your Honor, there's neither ruling.
Well, was this to be an evidentiary hearing today?
Sure. I'm gonna testify and say I'm in favor of the settlement. Really, the reasons I've given you already, but I'm happy to do it under oath.
Well, you don't have any evidence today, do you?
Other than I'll present an inventory that Mr. O'Connell filed, but that's a matter. It's a court filing.
What were you
going to say, Rose? Well, I was going to advise the court that the construct of this was, since I was negotiating on behalf of Ted, who didn't really have wasn't involved in this case, but he was doing it because of the suggestion of Mr. O'Connell to, try to reduce the expenses of the estate. I did draft my agreement and said that, even if Ted agreed to it, it still had to be approved by Mr. O'Connell, and if he believed it was necessary to be a court approval by the court. I don't know the agreement they actually signed has that provision in it, but I was just sort of letting you know the reason we need court. The one I drafted, it was never signed and is not operative, but the one that required court approval. I don't know that the actual signed agreement that's not attached to the motion requires it.
Let me ask you, usually if I'm asked to make court approval, I decide that something is legally done, and then I could decide it's reasonable, but that takes a whole bunch of evidence.
Actually, a statute?
Yeah, sure.
That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. I need to answer your. It's
satisfied the compromise will be for the best interest of the interested persons, and the interested persons, Mr. O'Connell, are who?
That again goes back to...
Well, who do you say they are?
I guess it would be Ted as trustee, the trustee, which again I know is an issue that they talked about.
Well, right now he is.
And that would be it. That's it. He's the...
There's no other definitional interested person but the successor trustee.
In case you could say Mr. Stanbury, the creditor has a...
Well, yeah, it's his, he's the party to the compromise.
That would be it.
Okay. And so, was the statute that you quoted me, Mr. Thaman, on the definition?
733.201 subsection 2.
Right. Oh, that's appropriate.
731.2012, definition of a beneficiary.
Judge, in terms of today, we're not dealing with a beneficiary, we're dealing with an interested person. Those are two different
steps. It is. Okay, so that's in sub 23 of 731.201. So, Mr. Morrison, your clients, not by name, but who are they in the chain?
They are four of the grandchildren of the deceased. And so they...
So when the estate gets probated and the beneficiary is the trust assignment, okay, assets go into the trust assignment for which Ted is right now the successor trustee. Okay, and in that trust, what are the rights of your clients?
Well, there's the Simon Trust, and then there are 10 essentially sub trusts, one for each grandchild. So the assets would be distributed from the estate to Simon's trust, and then to the 10 sub trusts. Although two of my clients, I believe, are over the age of 25, and therefore they would receive their monies out.
So Simon, as trustee, physically receives the estate assets, and then his job is to distribute them to the 10 sub-trusts. Mr. Rhoda?
Yes, sir. One for each grandchild.
And tell me again, how under the definition of interested person, the beneficiaries of the trust are
not? First, because there's enough assets in the estate to satisfy all claims. Therefore, there is no need to draw out of the trust unless you want to get liquid assets to get the money. So the reference to the fact that the money's coming out of the trust is only because there is not sufficient liquid assets in the estate. But there's enough assets in the estate, Your Honor, where the trust does not have to be evaded in order to satisfy.
All right, so what you're telling me is before Ted, as successor trustee, received money or property from the estate, Mr. O'Connell's PR has to pay out claims for the estate assets. And there's enough money to pay out this claim?
There's enough money if you take the assets as shown in the inventory and add up all of the claims against the estate.
But did I use
there's still money
left. Mr. O'Connell?
Yeah.
That Ted's involvement as the beneficiary of the estate doesn't kick in because as PR you have an independent duty to pay claims?
Well, his interest doesn't really call it death because of the fact that we have to pay valid claims.
Whether a beneficiary likes it or not, a PR has to pay and satisfy valid claims.
Of course, and administrative expenses or get what's left.
So,
Ryan, can I ask a little indulgence on something? I'm getting I have a hearing also in front of Judge French. It's an ETG that I guess is set up and ready to go.
I'll tell you what, so why don't we do this? I think that I'll be ready. Let's let the show run down the hall.
Yeah, I'll come
all
right back.
Folks,
again. Thank you.
Thank you.
No. What's that? Purple. Of course, that was kind of purple. God's name, intense kids in Jackson.
Somebody left the case.
Strange, huh? I just don't get what the kids are objecting.
Stand up and slide off.
To be honest, if I were him.
I know.
Period. Yeah, with what's going on. And it was, and it seems actually like an argument is right. That he could have, but the fact that they could have objected.
Right. But why is that Morrissey even here? Those four kids have no say so whatsoever.
They've never talked to him in his life. He got caught doing that once. Yeah. Right. Right. So why is Ted playing both sides of the fence? Yeah. And what's their argument? Are they they're vehemently opposed to settling in Stansbury? They want to go for a $2.5 million judgment against them? That they're going to lose? Because of me, for sure. Oh, like what a liar is. All the grandchildren objected. By the way, all the grandchildren didn't object. Just so you know. Okay, Lisa and Billy haven't heard from their kids. That's three. And you haven't heard from my three. What you have heard from my three, but they don't.
Morrissey made it for everyone, know that, from Jack Mace's kids, but who were the trustees of the subtrusts?
The
parents.
Each one of the
minors' parents?
Kids, right. If they're an adult, and a parent.
Until 35, not 25.
Until 25.
And it's 35.
35.
It's 25, and at 25 they become their own trustee, but they cannot pull all the money out until 35.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was my sister, I'm sure.
They get the sole trustee at either 25 or 30. They can't liquidate the trust.
Now, by the way, I saw money going into from size, I think, to Pam having a different trust. And Pam, who has those different trusts where money was going into? Pam for Molly. They listed for the 10 trusts, their 7 trusts, and some of them was Simon Bernstein created on that day.
Right.
Whose aren't created on that day? Pam has her own trust listed there. Right. And who else? Yeah.
Different names, like
yeah.
I don't know which ones specifically.
I know it was Pam's at least.
Because he doesn't.
Because if he has litigation, who's going to pay for litigation?
That's right. That's the point. And the statute.
Why are the other kids objecting?
We haven't heard.
Well, no. Why are the four? Why are these four objecting?
Ted's kids. Why is Ted doing this? It's not them. We know the kids have never been consulted. He's never talked to my nieces and nephews in his life, this guy.
And it could be
so why is Ted
unknown to me, but it was just news to me today that your discussion with Rose was merely to get a number, not to reach a settlement that would be memorialized.
The email I showed him.
Showed who?
I found the email.
Who'd you show it to?
I showed it to Rose today to refresh his recollection, which he says... The number was 300 at the time. He says, I will vigorously obtain court approval for this number.
That's it, right? Yeah, that's right.
So okay. Give that to the judge. Can you just hand that to the judge?
Well, at the end of the day, what do we even have to hear from Rose or Morrissey if there's enough assets in
you
cash
don't.
In the estate to pay the claim?
That's where I'm going. That's what I'm trying to tell the judge. Judge.
Derail.
We're making not invading the
we're
principles
making way
right.
more
The only reason we're invading the principles is because the trust has the liquid assets.
And you even put in the $500,000 to the mortgage you're including in your numbers, I saw.
Right.
Wasn't that paid already? I could have sworn they told us that was paid.
A statement of claim.
How is
I thought
are you saying
Lanis
that there will be a change
that.
Of assets, well, hard assets to cash assets from
right.
the estate and the trust?
Yeah, still got enough. Right. Right. And American Express can go get the money from the trust if necessary. There's enough to pay claims today for you.
Without invading it.
Right. If American Express wants to come pull their thing and needs to go to the trust, let them do it. Right now, today, there's three times the amount of the settlement. And it's and you should mention that it's a 75 or 80% difference than the amount that they could risk in litigation, if not more, with damages, penalties, and, you know.
The only big claimant is the mortgage holder.
Who, Mort? Or they, Walt? The mortgage holder
is
the estate.
Yeah.
Oh, on the...
Yeah, it's a $500,000.
That's what I'm saying.
Meaning, so if that gets, is the property going to get sold?
No,
so
but here's the thing, even if they come after that money, let them go get it from the trust if there's not enough in there later.
The
right. And today, you don't
otherwise
have to do that.
Sell assets. Okay, and you can't get paid. Trust agreements have to get paid within 10 days, but in order to make it liquid, they can get paid right away. He wants to exchange assets
with the trust.
With the trust,
right?
So that we can get paid right away.
So it won't compromise the interest of the trust. It'd just be a matter of pulling the liquidity out of the trust.
That's
and
correct.
Put it in the estate, so you can write a check.
That's
he'll
correct.
Probably want the note to our house in exchange, so he can throw us out.
I'll let him. Let him try. It's a whole nother.
That's one of the whole time.
That's a can. Don't worry. Just let him try. So far, they're doing real well on all their other positions.
It's very disrespectful
against pro se guy.
All of us. When he put on his calendar 3 to 5 here and he doesn't start it until 3:35 and then he kicks us all out of here at 4 o'clock.
No, we're not out.
Take evidence. I thought he was going to take evidence today.
Those are the ones that were 7.
I was prepared to testify as to the reasonableness of the settlement.
It was supposed to be 7:25.
Right.
But they all made the distributions to 9:13.
He had you backing off that.
Yeah.
Well, he'd back it off whether he has to even receive the order of doing it. I hear him saying that he can just settle, he can go settle. And if they don't like it, they can tell him or sue him. Well, Judge, we're here for the order under the statute, so he doesn't have it.
The question is why is Brian just not standing up and saying, I'm done? He has the power, obviously. The judge wants him to do that. The trust says he can pay us without going to the court for approval.
The will.
Right. And he doesn't ever have to consult with beneficiaries if they like his settlement of a deal. This is ridiculous.
The judge doesn't want to get dragged in.
Right. Neither would I.
But you're on the record saying you agree with Mr. Feynman, so he can't be afraid of you.
Nope. And if he's seeing what's going on here, he's seeing that it's Ted's kids objecting to Ted's settlement. Ted made the settlement as if, you should say, Ted entered into this. He's acting like a trustee. All these people are supporting this trustee. Now they don't support his settlement.
That's too obtuse of this judge, though.
But you get it, right?
And who would know better the value of the settlement than the business partner who's also the trustee of the trust?
So here's what I'm going to say, Your Honor. This is unprecedented in this case. We have Elliot and Ted who are
no standing.
Almost agreeing with each other. Neither of them are opposing this.
Right.
Yet you seem to be opposing them. No.
No, but that should ring that bell.
I think I'm going to try to ring that bell.
Yeah. And he's trying to get the hell out of it.
O'Connell was bad.
No, O'Connell's smart. He doesn't want to do anything that without.
He doesn't know how to take control. I'm desperately trying to, and it's not my job to.
I think he's
I'm
afraid to. I think it's afraid to, because like Ben Brown said, this is... He could have said it right there. He could have done it. He could have done it for my hearing, too, on the reimbursements.
Take control of these things.
The guy just asked him, do you even need me to do anything? Can't you just do it?
He doesn't want to get sued.
Okay, but by who? Who's...
who's by the beneficiaries of the beneficiary. Which is the other point I'm trying to make.
Is that they don't even... Right. And what are you going to sue him for? Settling a case at 75% less than the face value
right.
of the coin?
Right.
What are you going to say? That was a bad deal?
It's 12%
right.
of right. the
that's
value
a,
of the coin.
That's a dream
right.
settlement,
just
really.
Just settle the case.
And had he shut his mouth the first time, it would have been a 200. So.
And not that it matters, but when I'm out of the way, I'm also out of the way of the insurance litigation issue in Chicago. Do they really want to keep me in that game?
That was the impetus, which maybe we have to remind Judge Cohen of that as well, was Chicago.
Yeah, tell him who the judge is.
It eliminates that as well. Based on the fact, well, again, you go down too many rabbit holes with this guy, his head starts spinning,
right.
And then he just makes a motion to have another hearing in 2 weeks.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I don't even know that you want to go there.
I'm trying to.
You got to stay on point.
You got to let O'Connell just get off the bat and make the decision here.
He has the authority in the document of the grantor.
I mean, the judge really shouldn't even rule on this because the dispositive document says that it doesn't need court approval. So by putting the court in, it's kind of...
Yeah, but he gets protection if the court approves it. PR does.
He gets absolute protection from any liability from anybody.
Oh, that's why he's doing this. He's not a fool. No.
Statute specific.
Oh, well, he's smart as shit then. Thank you. Now I get it.
So he's trying to do that.
It says the judge has to
Rose and Ted reached out to us to discuss the settlement.
Right.
We and Brian agreed that it was a fair number based on everything that Brian could ascertain.
Which I'm going to assume, but not him. Right.
To get protection under that statute.
I'm going to assume.
Right.
That.
And why would any, you know, again, it was Rose and Ted that brought the settlement up.
Right.
They reached out to us.
Right.
Right, now Ted's kids are objecting to Ted's settlement. It's like, what? Ted's counsel's objecting to Ted's settlement.
And these are people objecting that have no knowledge of the facts of the case. And yet they're risking the entire insurance settlement going into the estate.
They're risking two times the value of the estate, two and a half times the value of the estate to continue this to litigation.
I know why. Because they want to force him to keep bringing that money in there, then the kids benefit because it doesn't go to the adult children.
Wait, what?
I get it.
What? No, tell me.
Ted's kids are not in line with Ted in their own self-interest. They want that Chicago money to come here.
Right.
So by keeping him in the action, that's the pressure up in Chicago to get the money down here.
But Morrissey already argued to keep it there.
And it's Brian O'Connell's argument. He's not going to allow a contingency firm offer to go down the drain. So the kids are, the worst case scenario, are going to have a contingency plan, right?
This is what happens when you're a bad judge.
Oh, well, don't ask me to second that. Well, he's also, by the way, I would assume that because of me, and I know that's a strange thing, he's looking at, there's three RICOs going on right now. There's this Illinois guy, RICO dude, just came in. You got all kinds of sticky issues with, I filed this all in Shinlin, so there's federal judges, there's one in Nevada looking at this whole thing that Crystal Cox filed in her case in a RICO. If I were him, I'd be panicking too. If
yeah,
I were
but
the
what's
judge.
The risk? What's
they don't know what the hell to do. Right.
There you go. I was going to ask you what's his risk of approving.
They have absolute immunity.
Yeah. So what does he care?
Right. He
has absolute immunity.
Unless it's a criminal act outside the color of law. Right.
That's not going on here.
Right. On an opinion, that's not right. On a bad decision, it's not right. So he doesn't have to worry. That's right. O'Connell's the only one that's worried. Why? Here's the question, Peter. Strip it back 1 second. You said that the kids know on self-interest. Let's assume that the kids have never talked to Mr. Morrissey. When the judge asked him, had you talked to your clients about blocking the insurance from coming to the estate? Well, no, I haven't talked to my clients. I'm not putting that on the record. Well, what do you mean? You came here to argue it, but you didn't ask your clients that you were arguing to keep the estate without the insurance? Assume that this is a ruse of Ted, that Ted hired counsel for his kids when I pointed out to the judge, this guy's arguing against his kids without counsel. He's acting a fiduciary, arguing for himself personally and all these things, and that's when Morrissey steps in. Morrissey wasn't here from day one, like Christine Yates.
Three.
And Pam has one.
Those are the two oldest.
Yeah. Right.
And then it's you and your two younger sisters?
Yep. P.S. Not only the two
Joel
oldest.
Joel to Lisa.
Not only the two oldest, but the two that were disinherited.
Right.
who get counsel. Believe me, Pam wouldn't give her daughter counsel. That she, because Pam's daughter would take the money and tell Pam to go, the relationships with their kids is terrible. This judge is so brave.
So,
Brian O'Connell.
So your wife is right. The judge. O'Connell looking for the judge to go.
And the judge is going. The
judge going. This is your baby.
He's going this way.
It's exactly what Ben Brown said. I'm doing this, Your Honor, because everything in this is such moving parts. I'm like, I'm not getting stuck with this. You know, actually, the whole concept to everybody that I'm sure is bothering people in the back of their minds is Ted kind of panned in negotiating his own settlement as a fiduciary, too. And Alan Rose put a lot of that in the record today. I negotiated this.
Yeah.
Thank you for the...
Great.
Add it to the tab.
Well, I'd stay on point, keep it simple.
Here's the simple.
And just keep
There's
it.
Enough assets in the estate.
Period.
You all the claims.
Right.
And this is one of them.
Right.
That's being compromised.
We don't
it's
need...
It's not compromised. There aren't enough assets
right.
in the estate.
And if they lose
but
this lawsuit...
But with this compromise, there are, and all the claims get paid, and we're done.
We don't need...
Now, O'Connell has to go to Ted and say, fund this.
Right.
But, okay, fine.
But you've got assets as the collateral.
Right.
The diamonds.
Right.
Jewelry.
Right, which is... Just pull them out of Ted's pocket.
And the PR has a right to have approved by the court.
Turn Deborah over and shake her up and down. Watch how the jewelry fall out of her pocket.
So the reason that statute is there is to protect PR. Otherwise, who would want to be a PR?
Right, you'd be sued for everything.
The judge ought to be... Taking care of the buddy. Yeah.
Well, maybe exactly you just need to remind him that he obviously thinks it's in the best interest of the estate to do it. He's a competent attorney who's handled the estate. All he's doing is seeking court approval to eliminate any more litigious issues that may go on with him as a result.
But he has to say that.
And by the way, if he doesn't accept the settlement and he loses that lawsuit, he's just lost 2.5 times the value of the estate, or 1.5 times. That's insane. Right then, I would sue him. I can't. Exactly. That's my point.
2 years later, he spent $250,000 in fees
and
moves closer.
And loses $2.5 million.
And loses.
There you go.
He's going to get his ass.
And you had a chance to settle and you didn't?
That's what you have to get to Brian to say to the court. He said, I got enough money, Your Honor, and I ain't risking being sued by everybody because I didn't take this settlement and lost a huge case and don't have the money
because
to fund it to trial.
Because people that don't know
trial.
What's going on
right.
sticking their nose into it.
Right.
They don't know what's going on. They've never sat through 1 second of this.
It doesn't sound like they really have standing.
They don't have standing. The
right, so why is Morrissey...
say the beneficiaries of the beneficiary trust.
Right. Right. They have to sue the trust.
First, that's why there's a trustee.
First, and they'd have to sue the trustee, not...
Right.
Right.
Right. It's
come through the trustee at least, right, because the trust is created.
And by the way,
trust.
If he wants to get into the game of the beneficiaries, there are beneficiaries that are in agreement with the settlement.
Right.
And we don't...
Of course, he only represents 4 of 10.
Right.
There's 6 of 10 that aren't heard of.
Right. No. My 3 are heard.
Oh, your 3 are heard?
Our work. But saying exactly we're
you
supporting...
You don't want to get into a majority rules. That's right. Not the way this should work.
Right.
Lisa
right.
and Jill.
It should look at the judge.
They have 3 kids.
Brian O'Connell is a competent attorney.
No, but he just represented them, which is very inappropriate. Rose said all 10 grandchildren are against, oppose.
He said 7 of 10.
Oh, even 7.
Failing that,
he doesn't represent 3 of them. So the only thing he could have said is 4.
So there's a high risk, high probability of losing significantly
right.
more than the settlement.
That's even truer.
Now stands
correct.
The chance of being sued.
And then he talked to all the beneficiaries.
Beneficiaries.
He never talked to me or my kids. Unless he's calling my kids without my knowledge.
That
would be strange.
Right. Either way. So
not beyond him, though, but it's strange.
You had the chance to settle and you didn't.
So he's only really got 4 beneficiaries who are claiming this. And they're speaking for 10. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that you want to go down there, though.
Yeah, because then Lisa and Jill's counsel.
And he's going to put everybody's name in
then
hat
Lisa
and see whose
Jill
name he pulls counsel. Out and that, whoever they want to vote for.
And then Lisa and Jill need counsel. O'Connell just needs to step up to the plate and say, I'm making a settlement. You know?
Yeah, he represents all of the beneficiaries.
Because I'm in danger if I don't settle this. And this goes to, if this doesn't happen, no, no, I put the estate at 2.5 times risk of a settlement going to $2.5 million plus damages plus whatever, I'll be sued by everybody. Whereas I'm getting out of here at a quarter of the price. It's a hell of a discount when we got a great case going with all this.
It's 12%. It's 12%. It's 12 cents on the dollar.
Right. Hello. That's exactly. Then he's got a great argument why the judge should approve the settlement. It's reasonable, rational. Or just look at him and say, yeah, I see that. Go make your decision.
But the judge doesn't want to go there.
Well, he could tell.
The judge doesn't even want to hear about the reasonableness.
That's true.
No, because he doesn't know the merits of the case.
He doesn't want to even go there because he doesn't want to buy in to have him make a decision that might expose him in any way.
Right.
He just needs to provide the imprimatur that Brian acted within his authority as a PR in the best interest of the estate, period.
Right, Your Honor, you're not approving the settlement. You're approving
Brian's authority.
The fact that
Brian
he
had
has
the authority to settle
authority
this
has the right to
by documents prepared by the decedent. Right. We expected this to be over at 5 for some silly reason. We're going to need to leave.
Night court.
Is there,
I missed the best stuff.
I expected to be over at 3:30.
What time is it? So did I.
If this talking is still going on and Eileen and I get up and leave, is that a problem? You need me there?
No, because he's not going to take testimony today.
Well, Brian's going to give testimony. So that opens you up to do it if you want.
I'll do it.
Where are you going?
Where do I always go?
Church. Doesn't God take exceptions to the rules? A little bit?
I made a promise. December of 1999.
Well, can't you go after? Just stop by, visit, wave, say I was a little late. Got to take care of some godly business. No, I know, don't.
I'm just watching the show.
Have you really gone every day since?
Unless it's been some
out of town emergency, blah. Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's commendable. I mean, I do his work every day, I figure, but I don't know where.
I swore years ago in Bermuda when I had too much to drink and too much garlic and escargot that I would never eat escargot with garlic again in my life. And I.
Did you ask Morrissey?
And I cheated on that.
Listen to me for a sec. Sorry for not listening to that. Did you ask Morrissey what his objection is?
I don't know that we want to go there. But
we don't want to know what he's objecting to?
They just don't think, I guess, that it's a fair amount of money. I don't know.
I'd make him get signed statements.
Anyway.
If he's going there.
I love escargot, garlic.
Yeah, and I can break that promise, but when I got down on my knees and I made a deal with God that if he let my son live, you know, I'd go to
church. And it's not worth missing it at that point because you made the deal and you never know what the consequence could be. That's exactly right. It'd be nice if you could have the church at your house. Here at the gazebo out.
It reminds me every day to thank God for my son, my daughter, my other son, my grandchildren, my wife, my friends.
It isn't hurting you, that's for sure.
It takes me away from all this. I'd much rather be there anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot prettier. And it's the other side, the good side versus the evil side.
Did you have a dog get married?
I don't know how these guys deal with that. What time is it? 4:20, it's gotta be. Got the phones, right? No, I don't know what O'Connell's doing. Is what?
Nope.
Not in the state. Not in the state. Shirley Trust.
Just trustee.
Of Shirley or Cy?
Cy.
Since Tesher and Selena resigned in January.
So it's been about a year.
Yeah.
He's required by law.
He was required in Shirley, too.
So my daughter was watching to file a simple motion.
It's in there, but we haven't got the hearing yet.
Just no, just
for accounting.
Just file a simple motion requiring an accounting.
Okay.
Set it on 8:45.
Okay, can I do that?
Yeah, motion to compel accounting.
Okay.
Okay, comes now, Elliot.
He isn't doing O'Connell?
On behalf of your minor.
Right.
And say,
she wanted to go back to school.
He was appointed.
On this day?
On this date. No accounting's ever been rendered. Florida statute, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Requires annual, no less than annual accounting.
Right.
Wherefore, please enter an order requiring a filing of an accounting. Period.
Do we have to have a hearing on that?
Yeah.
Okay, so then you got to put it in with the notice of the hearing. Why? Is that normal?
Yes, that's normal. Courts, judges don't read everything that's been filed. They read nothing.
Why do all my judges in all the other cases read the pleadings and then rule? I've never even gone into a hearing, ever.
That's federal court. Federal court is totally different from state court. Yeah, you can do it at UMC because it's pretty simple.
Have you filed one of those?
Sure.
Can you?
Mm-hmm.
Can you file one too?
No, I don't have to.
Brian
should. My client's
about Brian?
I'm an interested person.
I asked Brian today if he had
more golf courses here than where they were.
Yeah. One doesn't work.
Right.
Every time he's around, there's another somebody looking for somebody. I mean, he's had several opportunities.
No, he got their accounting, the final
accounting.
They did not
get their trust account.
Oh, no trust accounting, that's true.
And there's a statute. He's got my statute book.
On conversion of the trustees, they got to do accounting.
I know there's an accounting return. Just saying, and also saying no accounting was done
in the trust.
And just keep it real simple.
So then I have that section written in a filing.
No omnibus motions.
What's that mean?
No, not more than one.
Okay, yeah, just straight on point. I got it, son. I heard it.
This, and then
yep,
this,
I'll send
one at a time.
I'll send it for...
But your 100-page filing. Also, I told you...
I'm done with the 100-page
filing. The rules only...
You see when that's
the rules don't require... No, I stopped reading.
You go home.
Okay. I completely stopped reading.
They're only 12 pages.
Just exhausted.
So my recent filings are only 12 pages?
And when you file something, the judge doesn't read it.
I figured.
And what's attached is not evidence.
Right.
Right. You figured that out.
Right. But it is public. So,
it's public, right?
Since I work in the court of public.
There's no requirement for the judge to accept and believe
right.
anything you write or say.
Right. Or submit, even if it's a document.
Until you have an opportunity to prove it.
Right.
Okay.
Used to be I couldn't wait for the...
Yeah, it's amazing. They hit, do you know he hasn't even noticed the beneficiaries properly of the estate or the trust that he's the trustee or the PR. He's never sent out, here's the prior trust, here's the... Blah. I'm the new trustee. You know, his whatever they call it, acceptance.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there acting like he doesn't know all this. He knows it all.
That's three bogeys and one four holes or something?
No, but not that I remember. Not that I saw.
Is that the one that just ended Sunday?
I saw
it on
Sunday where they had a log jam and this.
Today?
Bill.
Well, who cares? Brian's not here.
30 to 16 to go off one, and then he had a couple of exciting parks. Got the, drove out of the trap where they would have to stand in the trap to hit a second shot like this. Five, so he could just punch right out, and then he hit close enough to two-putt par to get in. They're in Arizona, in Scottsdale.
Are they?
This week. Mrs. Tiger's return.
Oh, is he back this week?
Yeah, this week. Phil's playing, Spieth is back, so
that's where they have that deal. Stadium.
Yeah, that 16th hole, that par 3. Everybody yells at
him. Hopefully Tiger will come back, because last comeback wasn't such a comeback.
I love Arizona and Nevada for golf courses. It's because of the different terrain.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
And different than what we see around here. Everything around here is just kind of the same.
Green.
Water and trees.
And green.
And sand. And
I remember I was in Tucson and I
a little bit of green.
Played a course
on the water.
Yeah.
The trees.
I played a course with this buddy of mine when we were in Tucson on business.
And me there too.
And we had some business during the day and we went out to this course and we played and we were 18 feet in the dark. We got on the 18th hole and we hit our drives and we see something down. It's kind of, it's dusky and kind of getting dark. There's something moving around on the fairway. We took our carts out. There was a whole herd of javelinas. Those big boars wandered out. There's a whole herd. I said, you know what? I think I'm done. I'm not going after my ball.
And they'll chase you.
I'll take the stroke.
They'll chase you.
Yeah, and there was a lot of it. Was a herd.
You haven't seen any alligators or here?
Oh, yeah.
Where you play? Yeah.
Yeah. Every now and then there's.
Yeah. Those are frightening to see on the golf courses.
Laying on the side sun and as you
yeah.
Know, but don't get too close.
But they're fast. Yeah.
But those hobbling, they're scary looking.
Yeah, where I played in.
Yeah, and they're mean. Horses will charge you.
A mountain course, in a, either a valley or a desert course. And there were several par threes that were teed on the side of a mountain.
Mountain green to mountain peak.
Yeah, honest to God. And you drove down and around and around and around and back.
Just to get up there.
And it was a green and a little sand in the front. And other than that, it was.
And a lot of them, there's a patch of green where the tee is, and a patch of green, is everything else. It's just brown and brush.
What's the name of that course in Las Vegas that's like that? Badlands.
Okay.
The Badlands.
Oh, in Las Vegas.
Really? Oh, God.
The ultimate target ball.